In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. If you did not get a handout on the eight compound redemptive names of God found in the Old Testament, please hold your hand up, and Brother Elam Johnson, he will come and give you one of those. But we've been studying these eight compound redemptive names of God as he revealed himself line upon line, precept upon precept. I've studied these many times in my life, but I have never put them in biblical order, and I have never seen anyone else that put them in biblical order. But I feel like there's a treasure somewhere in here as we study these names, and I encourage you to keep that sheet, because the word Jehovah means the God who reveals himself. So if he revealed himself in the Old Testament as his people came to a certain need, then he wants to reveal that to us so that he can meet us in the same way. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to talk to you about Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Now, I love evangelistic preaching, and I love to do that. But God also gave me a teaching ministry. And I told the Lord, I said, if you'll just let me preach evangelistically, I promise you I will never forsake the ministry of teaching. Teaching is so powerful. And what we do when we teach, we're equipping the saints. And the evangelistic preaching pretty much just takes you up into his presence. So you just reach out and get what he has for you. But you need to know what he's got for you to reach up and get it. But God revealed himself in the Old Testament most often by the name Jehovah. It's used over 6,800 times in the Bible, the word Jehovah. Names really do mean something. And that is certainly true with God. The Bible refers to God by many names, and each one of those names, these eight compound redemptive names also, each one of those names, they reveal some aspect of God's character, God's nature, and our relationship with this Jehovah God. Hallelujah. You have that handout there, and these names are in biblical order. So what I'm trying to do is whet your appetite so you'll go back, look them up in the Bible, go back on live stream. You can order the CDs if you want to, but you can find them out there. If you go put Jerry R. Nelson on YouTube, you'll find these names out there, and you can discover, study those. But tonight we have come to Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord our sanctifier. Look at 1 Peter 3 and 15. Now this is a command of the Lord. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Some people just do not understand us. We are a peculiar people. That does not mean we're weird. It means we're peculiar. We're just different from the rest of the world because we've been hewed out of the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus, and we are lifeless stones, and we look to God, and we just expect God to be our provider. But tonight I want to talk to you about Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, for this great act of grace, the sanctification of our spirit, soul, and body, so we can be holy as you are holy. Lord, I pray tonight that you will take the things you've given me and give me words as I preach, God, that will give people a revelation of what belongs to them in Christ. Lord, these are some deep truths, and I've sought to make them as simple as possible using the revelation that Paul gave us and others, Lord. But help us to grasp it. Help it not to just be a doctrine with us. Help it to be an experience where we walk in holiness and purity and righteousness. And we're that light that you call the church to be. Bless your people. Give us revelation. Everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been studying these names of God and how these names are fulfilled in the redemptive work of Jesus. And we know that man by nature is the child of wrath. He is spiritually dead. We were all born and conceived in sin and iniquity. God is righteous. Man was born with a wicked heart. So a provision for righteousness had to be made by God. It was God, after Adam failed, who went seeking him. He said, where art thou, Adam? He wasn't wondering where Adam was. He just wanted Adam to know, I'm looking for you. And that's how God comes to each of us. He loves us so much, and he comes searching us out individually. And while the names of God revealed the different dimensions of his character, they also point to the coming Savior, Jesus Christ, and how all of these names would be fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. He saves us and he washes us from our sins in his own precious blood. And then Jesus imparts to us the gift of righteousness. If you look at number 7 on this list, he is our Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Now, we've not gotten to that yet because we're going in biblical order. And God wanted to identify himself as Jehovah Makedesh to his people because he said, I'm separating you unto myself, a holy nation. And then after, under the new covenant, we're born again through the blood of Jesus. Not only are we sanctified unto God, but we're separated from sin and the dominion of sin. And that's why this lesson is so important. The Apostle Paul said, sin shall not have dominion over you. Yet so many people, they're under that dominion. Now, look at Romans 5:1. We're talking about Jehovah Tsidkenu. We haven't gotten to that, but I got to lay some foundation. The Lord our righteousness. Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that is our Jehovah Tsidkenu right there. He imputed to us, Jesus did, his own righteousness. Tonight, we want to look at the redemptive work of Christ and his gift of sanctification. And you can't have one without the other. In other words, you can't get filled with the Holy Ghost until you get saved. And then you need to be sanctified and cleansed from all your uncleanness. And then you need to be filled with the power of God. And that's what God wants for each and every one of us. But the Hebrew compound name is Jehovah Makedesh, for the Lord our sanctifier. Now, he revealed himself, first of all, as a sanctifier in Leviticus chapter 20. God spoke to the tribe of Levi. They were to be a priesthood that was separated unto him, and they were to carry out all the oracles of God. They were to minister the sacrifice. They were the preachers. Amen. They were the people that were to handle the holy things of God so the people could understand. Look at Leviticus 20, verse 7. God said, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Now, look, he said, I want you to sanctify yourself. So you need to remember that. Now, look at verse 8, Leviticus 20, verse 8. And ye shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you. He said, I want you to sanctify yourself, but I want you to know something. I am the Lord that sanctifies. He said, sanctify yourself, and I will sanctify you. So that is the operation of God and then the cooperation of man. God does the operation, but you have got to cooperate with what God is saying and what God is speaking through his word. The process of sanctification must take place. In justification, past sins that we have committed, they are forgiven. And we are made the very righteousness of God, Jehovah Tsidkenu, item 7 on your list there. In sanctification, our sin nature is crucified and is destroyed so that we might be free from sin to serve the living God in righteousness and true holiness. That's how you let your light shine. Every chain must be broken. Every weight and every sin must be dealt with by Calvary's blood and the washing of the water of the word. So the process of sanctification must take place in order for a person to obtain freedom from the sin nature. We all had a sin nature, and I have a handout I'm going to give you later, and it best explains it much, much better than I could ever do. But Jesus has provided a double cure for sin, salvation from past sins committed and sanctification for the purging of that old sin nature. He said, put off the old man and put on the new, which is created in righteousness and pure holiness. Now, we weren't righteous and we weren't holy, so we have to, like this coat here, we have to take it and put it off. That's how you get free from it right there. You take it off. And then you got to take off the old, and you got to put on the new. That's a beautiful picture right there of what God did for us in the sanctification process. Amen. Because Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, S-I-N, he has provided a double cure. Salvation from the penalty of past sins. You got to know that. See, and then sanctification for the crucifixion of the old man. Sin is the root cause of our problem. Sins are the fruit that come out of that sin nature. So that has to be dealt with in order for you to be free. Sin is the fountain. Sins are the acts that we commit that flows from that fountain. So how do we get a new nature? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus. So a process of reconciliation took place. We were alienated from God. Then God began to seek us. And then God came looking us, just like he did Adam. We were alienated, and the blood of Jesus bridged the gap and brought us into a divine relationship with God. So we need to understand that. So sanctification crucifies the body of sin. It purges the heart from sin. Sanctification renews the carnal mind as you study the Word of God, so that the old man of sin can be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, but we serve God. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. Why, Paul? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. But he that is dead, crucified, resurrected with new life, is free from sin. Aren't you glad to be free? Well, if you aren't completely free, if you can get this revelation, I promise you something, you will be free. Sanctification is not a legalistic code. They tried to make it a legalistic code when I was a little boy growing up in the church. And you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't wear this, and you can't wear that, and you got to look like this, and you got to look like that. You can do all of that stuff and still be a sinner. I guarantee you that. It's not what you look like, and I believe in looking right and doing the best you can what you got. Amen. But it's moderation. It's not going to one extreme or to the other extreme. It is doing what the Word of God says, the pure in heart shall see God. Not those that look holy, but those that are holy. And that's a tremendous difference. But we should look holy. So just stick with me. But it's not a legalistic code. It is a divine act of grace that is done in the human spirit, soul, and body. It starts in your spirit, man, when you're born again. Then your mind, your will, and your emotions, mind, will, and emotions, the soul of man, that must be renewed. So it starts in the spirit, it goes to the soul of man, renewing your mind, and then the body. And so man is triune being just like God is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, man, spirit, soul, and body. And so you have to know that, the dichotomy of man, if you're going to be able to live this life. So sanctification is wrought by the Word of God, by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and by faith in the operation of God to perform it. So we don't just want to understand it as a doctrine. I think too many churches have doctrines that they're not living. And if I cannot impart to you through the anointing of God, the giftings of God, and the revelation of God, I have failed you. So I pray, God, give me revelation, help me to explain it to people, because I had to go through the process. And so does everyone else that's ever saved, that's born again. And we got a lot of people that they're saved, but they're not free. You know what I'm talking about? So you might ask, why must the believer be sanctified? Why is this such an important thing to the Christian life? Well, nothing is born clean. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Not a dog, not a horse, not a cat, not a baby, not a soul. Nothing is born clean, And that is what sanctification is all about. Now, listen to me very carefully, because if you miss this part right here, you will not be able to understand what I'm going to say later. You do not want to miss this part. Nothing is born clean, and you must know that. Nothing. So the person who goes halfway never gets the full blessing. Let me say that again. The person who goes halfway with God, they never get the full blessing. That's why we need the second blessing of full surrender to God. I'm going to call it full surrender. You can call it sanctification. We call it in our denomination a second definite work of grace. Church of God does that. Call it the second blessing, commitment, cleansing. Scribe it any way you choose. But I promise you this, the key to the full blessing of God is full surrender. Let me say that again. The key to the full blessing of God is full surrender. The fully surrendered heart of man to God is what brings the freedom that people are looking for. If you will give every area of your life over to God and say, God, I have a problem here. I'm struggling with this. I have a problem, God, with my attitude. I have a problem, God, with this sin, this weight that's still trying to pull me back. I have a problem, God, with my relationships with other people. So you're going to have to be sanctified spirit, soul, and body. And that's how you get the total freedom through full surrender. Amen. The full surrender of the heart to God is what brings the freedom that people are looking for. We meet them everywhere we go. We have them in our families. We have them in our homes. We have them in our churches. We have people that have never seen what is really available to them through God. And there is only one place that God will work, and that is in first place. God will not work in the second place. I promise you that. You can give God second place in your life. If you never fully surrender, you will never have what God has purposed for your life. God will only work in one place, and that is in first place. He will never take second place. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So why should the believer be sanctified? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3. Why should I be sanctified? What are you talking about? Sanctification, cleansing, the second definite work of grace, the second blessing, commitment, fully surrender. What are you talking about, Pastor? Here's what I'm talking about. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. God said, don't go out and get mixed up in sexual sin. Some people try to say, well, that's a doctrinal thing. No, it's not doctrinal. God said, I don't want you sleeping around. I don't want you taking your body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and doing unclean things with your body. I want you to present your body to me, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. I'm talking about freedom. Hallelujah. So look up the next verse, brother. Why does God want us sanctified? That every one of you, it'd be verse 4, 1 Thessalonians 4 and 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Why does God want us to be holy? So you will know how. Why is it God's will? So that you'll be able to be that light. So that you'll be free. So that you get victories in every area of your life. And then when somebody comes in it as a captive to sin, you'll be able to stand before them with the power of God, the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the knowledge and the revelation of God, and set the captive free. That's what it's all about. It's not just me being free. It's you being free and everybody getting free. Hallelujah. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not truth that frees you. It is the knowledge of truth, the embracing of that truth, the experience of that truth. Look at Brother Tom, got his hand raised up over there. He come in smoking his cigarettes. He come in here, you know, at the old church. I could smell the liquor on him. And I just said, keep coming, brother. Keep coming. Keep coming. He did. God delivered him from that. And next thing you know, earlier last year, he said, God spoke to me and said, you got more confidence in the withdrawal symptoms of that cigarette than you do on my power to deliver you. He threw them in the trash can. Walked through the door, said, I never wanted another one, Pastor. Hallelujah. That's the power that I'm talking about right there. I mean, we don't want to just teach something. And he said, it's not that I never heard it preached. It's just I didn't have the revelation. I just didn't step into it. But when the Holy Ghost spoke to me and quickened my spirit, he said, I step right into it. And that's the way it works. It's revelation that rescues you. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Let me try to teach this thing, Lord. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The great apostle Paul said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, completely. W-H-O-L-L-Y. Holy. Not H-O-L-Y. Holy, completely. And I pray, God, that your whole spirit, that is again, soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. I looked at that one day. I said, praise God. If he's going to preserve me blameless, there must have been a time I was made blameless. That I stand before God, justified by faith, sanctified by the blood, sanctified by the washing of the water of the word, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. And I just choose to sanctify myself. And when temptation comes, I'm just like you and you're just like everybody else. Jesus was just like that. He resisted temptation. He was tempted in all points, just like we, yet without sin, showing us that we can be tempted. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said that no weapon formed against us shall ever prosper. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. All those are biblical truths. And the word is what washes you and cleanses you. I love that whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And look at what Jesus said in John 17:19. Jesus said, and for their sake, I sanctify myself. Now, I'm going to have to help you with why he needed to be sanctified. I mean, here's a man that never sinned. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, I'm preaching truth right now, and whether you realize it or not, you've been washed in the water of the word. You're literally being sanctified and washed. I'm like an agitator in the washing machine. You know that agitator in my old washing machine? That's what I do. I just agitate people real good with the word of God to wash them, to cleanse them. I look at it like I get to go and I say, praise God, I'm getting washed too, Lord. Hallelujah. I need it. You need it. We need it. We're in a world of sin, but where sin did abound, grace. Go on, praise him. Grace, grace, grace. There's much more abound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what does the Bible have to say about this divine act of grace that God has wrought through the blood of the cross, and God has wrought through the operation of God and through what Jesus paid for at Calvary? Well, let me just give you some biblical references. What does the Bible say about it? Romans 6:6. I'm just going fast, so if you want to write them down, write them down. Go back and get a CD. Romans 6:6 calls it the crucifixion of the old man. Romans 7:24 says it is deliverance from the body of death. Romans 8:6-7 said is to be spiritually minded rather than carnally minded. Galatians 6:14 says it is the crucifixion of the believer to the world and the world to the believer. Ephesians 5:25-26, it is the cleansing by the washing of the water of the word. And that's what I'm doing right now, washing you in the word, washing myself. Hallelujah. The devil hit me in my back, then all of a sudden in my hip, then my knee, and then my foot, and then my stomach flared up. I said, praise God. I said, you really aggravated me now. And I'm going to preach on divine healing. And we've been seeing people healing here. Why? Because the word has gone forth on healing. The songs have gone forth. We're singing about our healing Jesus. And miracles are happening because God watches over his word to perform it. So I know if I preach this great truth, people are going to be free from the bondages and the shackles and the chains of darkness. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 13:12 says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without a gate. That means he died outside the city. Amen. And then Romans 5 and 1, look at this. Put that on the screen, Romans 5 and 1. Therefore, being justified with faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, aren't you glad for that peace? I mean, what kind of God would you want? You know, the heathens, they said, I got the God of the valley, we got the God of rain, we got the God, you know, that's a mean God, and we got a God that's a good God, and we got a God of fertility, and they got all kind of gods that are dead gods. We got the true and the living God, and our God loves us. God loves you. Put Romans 8:32 up there before I go back to that. I want you to see this. God loves you. God loves everybody. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, when you're struggling to get a blessing from God, you need to know this. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So if you're struggling, just hang in there. Faith may not have gotten here yet, but faith is coming down the road. You come around, hang around this place, faith is coming down the road. It may not have gotten here. I mean, I remember when I got up, my stomach was killing me. My bishop said, how did things go last week? I was just trying to keep my mouth closed in that meeting. He pointed me out. He said, how did things go in your church? I said, I preached myself happy. And I didn't tell him anything, but I got up here, my stomach was killing me. By the time I finished, praise God, I was feeling good. I done pumped the word of God and the sword of the spirit, and I've been just mending ever since. Hallelujah. And I praise God for it too. Got freedom. Can dance again. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you can dance? Aren't you glad you're free? You can know the truth. The truth will free you. The chains will fall. The blessings will flow in Jesus' name. Now look at Romans 5 and 1 again. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen very closely here. Justification gives us the standing of righteousness with God. That's item 7. He's our Jehovah's Tsidkenu, our righteousness. Now, sanctification, this is very important. This will help free you. Sanctification gives us the character of God. The character of righteousness in our walk with Jesus Christ. So, through justification, we get the standing of righteousness, but with sanctification, we get that character. Don't you want good character? You know, that's one of the major flaws in our culture. People have no character. Some lady on TV said the real problem, talking about this tragedy that happened out there in Las Vegas. Look at the other tragedies that have happened. The real problem is people don't have character. See, if they had a godly character, they would never do anything like that. So we are being led more by our culture than we are by the Word of God. And you need to be where the Word of God is preached so that it might be dark out there, but there's going to be light in here, the light of God's Word. There's going to be it's hardship and heartache out there, but in Him, there's joy unspeakable. That's full of glory. There's peace in Him. There may be turmoil out there, but we have the righteousness of God. We have the peace of God. And we have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. So you just find out, what does the kingdom mean? What does it mean for me to be in the kingdom of God? I don't want a dogma. I don't want a doctrine. I want an experience that I can walk in freedom and that I can have the more abundant life that Jesus Christ came to provide. That I can get up and preach about Jesus, and because my heart is clean, because I'm sanctified, because I've sought Him, because He has made me a vessel of honor and made you a vessel of honor, you can carry God's power to people that are hurting. They're dying, they're crying, they're sighing, they're moaning, they're groaning, they're hurting, and they need Jesus. Let's take the Jesus of the Bible to them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at, well, let me keep on with this a little while. See, Jesus sanctified Himself so the disciples could be sanctified. See, God wants us to have holy character. That's what I'm trying to say. So 2 Corinthians 7:1, the Bible says it is sanctification is the cleansing from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. Flesh and spirit. So you can be born again and your spirit needs some changes. I know mine does at times. Hallelujah. Probably the greatest struggle I have is to keep my spirit man in harmony with the Word of God. And to take the warrior anointing that I have and realize my battle is not with flesh and blood. It's with darkness, principalities, and power. And God told me a long time ago when I first got saved, he said, take that combat experience and unleash it against the devil. He said, unleash that warrior anointing against him and tear down his strongholds, tear down his kingdom, and I'll anoint you to do it. I mean, I have some bad flaws in my character. And God said, I'll take those places in your character that you're weak. I said, God, I got this problem. You can't con God. Be honest. I got this problem, God. Help me. I'm drowning. Help, help, help. And God said, son, you take my word. See, that's the washing of the water of the word. And you take my word and you fortify those areas of your life. And I will make those areas where you've been weak, I will make them your strongholds, and you'll be able to set the captive free because I'll anoint you to do it. Hallelujah. Now, when God talks to you like that, God means something. God says, I've chosen you for special work. If you find out what he wants you to do and do it with all your heart, guess what? You'll go through some battles, but I'll tell you what, God will fight them for you, and you'll come out more than a conqueror. Go on, praise him. I love him. Hallelujah. So sanctification is separation unto God that we may be holy, spirit, soul, and body. Is it necessary? Well, Jesus thought it was. Look at John 17:17. He's in the garden. He's praying. And he says, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now look at John 17:19, because this doesn't make sense unless you get a revelation. And for their sake, he's talking about you and me, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, Jesus is in the garden. This is really the Lord's prayer. It's his high priestly prayer. He knows he's going to the cross, John 17, and he begins to pray. He's standing in the shadow of the cross, and he says, Father, for their sake, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified. So Jesus wants us to be sanctified. And if he needed to be sanctified, we need to be sanctified. Don't get hung up on the doctrine of sanctification. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you got to put a name on it. Second definite work of grace, cleansing, commitment, full surrender, sanctification. Call it whatever you want to. You know, we just have an article. We have Article 9 in the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. It's called cleansing. That is the negative side where you put off the old. And then we have sanctification is the positive side where you put on the new man, created in righteousness and pure holiness. It's doctrine. It's good doctrine. And I've carried it back to the Bible. But your doctrine won't do a thing for you unless you have an experience. But you need a doctrine so you can know truth. Is that making any sense? I think it does. Hallelujah. So when Jesus prayed that prayer, he was standing in the cross, the shadow of the cross. But not only did Jesus die on the cross. Now, you got to stick close with me here, because if you don't, I'll lose you. He also died unto sin. Put 2 Corinthians 5:21 up there, brother. I need some scripture to back me up, because he not only died on the cross for sin, he also died to sin. Now, if a man had never sinned and he was born the Son of God, born of a virgin without a sin nature, how could he know sin? Well, here's the answer right here. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, had made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus took our sin on himself And then, having been made free from sin, he imputed to us, when we came to the Calvary, the gift of righteousness. Let me see if I can explain that to you. Okay. So he died to satisfy the demands of an offended law. And he died to sin to free us from sin. See, in the death of the cross, we identified with Christ. We died with him. We were buried with him. I'll walk you through that in a moment. We were separated from sin with him. We were raised with him in resurrection life when we experienced a new birth. And we are presented with him unto God, seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's a great mystery, but it's the truth of the word. But you have to have the revelation. That's why I wanted you to see nothing is ever born clean. It has to be cleaned up. And the process is this sanctification process. When Jesus prayed, "Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth," he was praying that we, through the word of God and the revelation of the Spirit of God, would see the complete work of the cross. Because if you don't see the complete work, then you'll be bound. You'll be bound by habits. You'll be bound by sin. You'll have things you cannot get free of. And you'll be bound by sickness and disease. Amen. Amen. I said amen. Hallelujah. But if you get a revelation, and if I get more revelation, I can impart more. So pray for me. I need more. I know I do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Now, look at Colossians 2 and 10. I love this. Because you need to know this, that you're complete in Christ. In other words, the devil's going to tell you that you're a failure. But it's not your work, it's his work. And if you can appropriate his work on the cross, then it will help you. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, I'm going to fast forward this thing to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 gives us a beautiful picture of the work of sanctification and the cross. We're crucified, we're buried, we're planted, and we're raised. Look at Romans 6 and 6 now. This is what you've got to understand. This is the great chapter right here on sanctification. Romans 6 and 6. 6 and 6, brother. Romans 6 and 6. We're going to start there. Romans 6 and 6. Knowing this. See, what I'm doing is teaching revelation. So you got to know it. Knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that's dead is free from sin. That's what it goes on to say. Now, I like this right here. Sanctification is sin consciousness rather than sin consciousness. I like that. I penned it years ago. I like it. Sanctification is sin consciousness rather than sin consciousness. So many people walk around carrying the weight of sin because they don't realize who they are and the freedom they have in Christ. Like I'm saying, there are no new revelations in the church. There are old truths that we have lost. And if we can rediscover those old truths, we will be able to be the body of Christ that we should be. So Romans 6 and 6 says, knowing this, that the old man of sin, Romans 6 and 6, knowing this, that the old man of sin is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So once it's destroyed, you don't serve it anymore. Now go to Romans 6 and 11, because this is an accounting term. It says, reckon, likewise reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you've got to know, you know, that you have been freed, that the sin has no dominion, has no power. The old man of sin was crucified with Christ. Reckon yourself, now that you realize that, to be dead indeed unto sin, alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's an accounting term where you take what Jesus did on the cross, the debit there, and you put it over to your side. And credit to yourself. You reckon it. Hallelujah. Just like a banker reconciling some books. Amen. Hallelujah. So you must know it. You must know it's the will of God. And so, see, it's not God's will for you to be a slave. It's not God's will for anybody to be a slave to alcohol, to drugs, to nicotine, to sex perversion and porn. Those things are unclean. And if you don't believe that, look at this right here. 1 Thessalonians 4:7. For God has not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. So that's why it must take place. If you want confidence when you pray, it's not a legalistic code. It's revelation that this is who I am in Christ. This is what he's done for me. And because of that, now I can walk in liberty and freedom. And I've got joy and I've got righteousness and I've got peace. Because whether I live unto the Lord. Whether I die unto the Lord. Whether I live or whether I die, I'm the Lord's. And it's just that simple. No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. Hallelujah. So now look at Romans 6:12-13. Let me paint the rest of this picture, and then I'm going to give you a little handout here. Hallelujah. I want you to see that. Romans 6:12. Beautiful. Let not sin, therefore, since you know you're crucified, since you put it to your account, you reckon it to you yourself, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Wow. Now look at this, verse 13. Neither yield your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness. Sin. You're going to be tempted. I'm going to be tempted. So what do? Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but take the word out. What does the word say? What does God say? What belongs to me? Who am I in Christ? Yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And we got people that, you know, they say, you judging me. You saying I'm not a Christian because I'm shacking up. Yeah, you ain't a Christian. I didn't judge you. The word of God judged you. You better get your heart right. If you're a drunk and an alcoholic, you better get your heart right. Because no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor liars, nor homosexuals, nor lesbians, or any of that stuff. I mean, God has a standard, and it's called holiness. And if I missed the mark, if I went out and committed adultery and slept around, I just missed the mark. And if I don't get my sin under the blood, guess what? You die and go to hell. That's strong, preacher. No, that's what God said. I didn't say it. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, neither fornicate. See, you don't hear much preaching like this. We had a visitor recently said, I like that sermon the preacher preached. We had that God and Country Day, first responders, and, you know, back to church center. She said, that was old-fashioned Holy Ghost preaching. Well, no, it's the Word of God. It's where it should be preached in every church. Brother Doug told me, said he went to a Baptist church recently. He was out of town. Said, that man was preaching holiness, Pastor. He said, that man was preaching the gospel. It ought to be preached everywhere. That's what people need. That's what I need. That's what you need. Brother Elam, will you give that handout, please? Amen. He's got a handout he's going to hand to everyone. But sanctification is a crisis experience. It's an act of God. It's an act of the human will. It is an ongoing process. And it takes place through faith in the operation of God, wrought by the cross and by the blood of Jesus. It is the operation of God, it is the cooperation of man. It is a crisis experience. It is an ongoing process. Every one of us. I have to be sanctified today. Amen. How do we get it? By beholding the cross. We come to a definite crisis in our life where we abandon all sin as the purpose of our human will and of our heart. We unconditionally surrender to the will of God. Bishop J.H. King explained sanctification best in his book, From Passover to Pentecost. I don't believe I can improve on this anywhere. I've never seen anyone that has ever improved on what you're being handed right now. To understand what you're dealing with when it comes to this, he said, and I quote, In every unsaved heart, sin exists in a twofold manner. And this is where I started. There are sins and sin. The former sins, S-I-N-S, refers to the acts. The latter, sin, to the condition. We had a sin condition. Sins are actual. Sin, S-I-N, is original. Sin is inherited. We were all born and conceived in sin and iniquity. Sins are committed, the acts that we do, okay? The former sin, it descended to us by the transmission from Adam's fall. We inherited that sin. It's not that we were bad. We were just born with it. I continue to quote him. The latter are acts of disobedience against God's law. That's sins, S-I-N-S. Sin separated us from God. Sins bring his condemnation upon us. Sin is a principle. Sins are practical. Both are intimately related. Sin is the root. Sins are the fruit. Sin is the fountain. Sin's the stream flowing from it. Sin is the lawless seed. Sins are the lawless deed. Sin is the parent. Sins are the offspring. Sin is Adamic. Sins are individual and personal. Sin is called the old man. Sins are designated as transgressions. End of quote. I don't believe that could be stated any better than what Bishop J.H. King has done right there. Put Ephesians 4:22. Pastor Ricky, if you would come, please. Ephesians 4:22, 23, and 24 on the screen. Paul said that you put off concerning the former conversation, the former lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now look at that little note I put there, because we'll get to Jehovah Sid Canoe later. To put on righteousness is to put on Jesus as our Jehovah Sid Canoe, our righteousness. And to put on true holiness is to put on Jesus as our Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord, our sanctifier. Father, I pray that those beautiful truths from your word will sink deep into our hearts. And God, that we will be able to walk in the beauty of holiness. That your people, Lord, will rediscover those old paths that lead to fulfillment in our lives, in our homes, and in our families. And God, that we'll be the person that you purpose for us to be. Make us holy, God, even as you are holy. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand. Pastor Ricky.
I give myself away.
Give myself away, Lord.
I give myself away.
Of my own free will.
So you
my purpose
can use me
to serve you.
I give myself away.
I'm like old Jeremiah. Thy words were found, and I did
give myself away.
Your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart.
I give myself away.
At the entrance of your word, there is light and freedom. Sing it, church.
I give myself away so you can use it.
Verse 1.
Here I am.
Let's come spend a few moments around the altar before we dismiss school tomorrow. Take a few moments. Sing to the Lord. Just tell Him how much you love Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God.